Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Football Ramble, friends. We're on pens, we're defending with our hands tied behind our backs, but we are never, ever conceding. It's Monday, the 9th of November. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm ravishing Rick Donaldson.
What a jolly old Monday we've got for you. But before we get started, we also have a brand new episode of At The Match on Football Ramble Presents. It's available right now. Andy Brassel, it's a lovely one, this. He got to see his beloved AFC Wimbledon finally return to Plough Lane after 29 years.
Oh, emotional.
Oh, it's such
he,
a...
He got back and there was a big head of the Statue of Liberty sticking out the ground. He went, it was Earth all along!
Yeah. Yeah, and in addition to that, he watched from the stands as the Dons played their first game at their new stadium against Doncaster Rovers. He also spoke to some legends of the club about what it means to see their side return home after all those years away. If you want to find that, if that tickles your fancy, search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app and give it a listen.
Are they different from MK Dons?
Although Andy's going to be listening to that. It is a great tale, and Andy's been champing at the bit for a long time to get back there, to the point of where he has been sending various construction photos of the stadium to me on WhatsApp over the months and years. So I'm pleased for him that he's got to go back there. Yeah. Hopefully you got a green tea.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. I would have thought it probably is the kind of football club where you could get that these days.
You'd hope so. I think it's that kind of stuff is important. We shouldn't say that people shouldn't be able to get green tea at football matches. But when Andy asked for one, the woman's face at Peckham Town, which can be heard as well on At The Match over in Football Realm Presents, her face is something I will never forget.
Mm. At the New Plough Lane, actually, there's a really good independent craft brewery just opposite. So I used to. By the Horns. I used to frequent it often when I was living in the local area and take little spy photos for Andy to make sure he was fully up to speed.
Checking on the construction. Put your hard hat on. Yeah. Put a hi-vis on, wandering around.
Oh, the japes I've had in that construction site, Luke. Yeah.
Is that the forewoman? She doesn't even work. Yeah.
It's very friendly. Such a lot to get into, guys. We should probably crack on. But first of all, how much FA Cup first round action did you manage to get your teeth into? Because there was a lot, ladies and gentlemen. There was a lot of upsets, cupsets, of course.
Cupsets are a word that should always be employed when possible.
Yeah.
Those who didn't get their teeth into Crawley beating Torquay 6-5 should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves, because that was an absolute
banger.
Pete, what do you like to get your teeth into most? You're a big fan of the kind of old school 80s, 90s kind of chewy sweets, aren't you?
I was going to go for a pepperami wide boy.
Okay, yeah, it's a pepperami wide boy of a game.
Cheese string.
Mm.
The ones with the turns. It's not just one colour of cheese
bounce
string.
Off, though,
Kate's trying to slum it of us.
I bloody love a cheese string.
Oh, look, really enjoy a Dairy Lee on foie gras.
It's like listening to a Tory cabinet minister. What are the poor people like? Cheese strings?
Kaleidoscopes. Do you like kaleidoscopes?
Yeah, we're only allowed...
Bubbles.
Cheese string for me and Pete for the Sunday afternoon. That's like our roast dinner.
Oh, right.
It's a treat.
That's what you have on the cheese board, I guess.
Yeah. I'd bloody love to have a cheese board UK and you put some cheese strings out there. Yeah. It'd be fantastic.
That's actually one of the first things you sent me when you were trying to woo me for the ramble.
Yeah.
Mm. Picture of your cheese board.
There we go.
There you go.
Click behind the curtain. That's patron exclusive content, that. Mm. I'll be putting that out to everyone, to the proles. By the way, the reason that Torquay 5, Crawley 6 was such a good game was partly because it was the world's longest football match, because it went to extra time, and because there was sadly a long injury break during the game. But the best thing, and we've said this over the years on the Ramble, I think, but around this time of year with first round FA Cup, is you get local commentators who are so clearly biased for the home team that it's amazing. And if you go onto the BBC website and watch the highlights of the Torquay Crawley game, the commentator, when Crawley have scored to make it 6-5 in the final minute, one of the most remarkable finishes to a cup game you'll ever see, he just goes, "Oh, Crawley have done it." It's amazing. And also, to put it in perspective for those who didn't see it, Torquay were 5-3 up in the second half of extra time, and they lost the game. They didn't even go to penalties.
Outstanding.
I mean, this is exactly how the Premier League have been operating for the past few months.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it.
It's true. It was an amazing amazing game. Well worth a turn of the head on the old highlights. And shout out to 8th tier Marine as well for beating Colchester United on penalties.
Marine Gherkin in goal.
Royal Marine.
I had a manager of one of the football teams I played for who used to play for Marine. Good guy, much older. He was mad. So I don't know if that's got anything to do with Marine, if we learned to be mad at Marine.
Well, they're in it for the first round for the first time in 25 years.
Amazing. What
ready
a story.
To party.
They're obviously a very, very old club, and they have had some appearances in the second and third rounds as well, of course. But I think the most pertinent point is that their kit is lovely.
What is their kit? I didn't see what it looked like.
It's a Sam Sparrow black and gold.
Is it really?
Black.
That is a throwback to those noughties music fans out there. I'm rapping to Sam Sparrow.
I'm picturing Jack Sparrow, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
Not really.
Just,
that similar,
what happened to Just Jack?
Who's that? I don't even know that.
Why do you want to go put stars in your eyes?
Stars
in your eyes. That wrong one.
Stars, you're the man for this, because you were on Absolute Radio the whole time.
Well, I was on XFM at that point, and I did his CD single launch.
Did you really?
Ones and twos.
And Absolute Radio, famously home of the no-repeat guarantee.
Absolutely right.
How many times did you break that no-repeat guarantee?
Oh, so many times.
Yeah.
I played Suede Before the News, Suede After the News, the same song. Okay.
So it's not man. Really a guarantee so much as a guidance, a
they
guideline.
They used to give away digital radios until I started. If you spotted a repeat, they would give you a digital radio. And then they thought I was a liability, so they stopped doing that. We're out of business.
Just a massive warehouse full of digital radios off of there.
I sometimes forget that we're in the presence of showbiz royalty.
I know. And can I also just wrestle it back and say that Wayne Rooney's brother scored from inside his own half.
Good Lord. 60 yards, eh?
Amazing.
Easy.
Can I posit that it's probably one of the better Rooney almost on half goals?
Mm. I mean, Wayne's done a one or two as well himself.
He has done some, but I think the one that he's kind of celebrated for, who was in net for West Ham?
I think it might have been Adrian.
I think it was Adrian.
Yeah.
He kind of he celebrated
on the spot. Yeah.
He kind of got a bit confused and stuff. I think his Wayne Rooney's best all and a half goal, which is ridiculous that we've got so many to choose from, was Everton's the one he scored to complete his hat trick for Everton.
Right.
A couple of years ago.
I'm drawing a blank
down.
Here.
Yeah, it was beautifully kind of like put down the corridor of chance. For the goalkeeper, it was beautifully done. And also the one he scored in Washington as well.
Apparently Joe Hart was lobbed by him once as well.
Apparently.
Yeah. I just want to put it out there to everyone that, you know, it's a difficult time to go. Obviously, we can't go and watch football or whatever. So watching first round FA Cup, and it'll be the same in second round FA Cup.
A treat.
And if we get some teams through in the third round. The third round FA Cup weekend is my favourite weekend of the season. It's amazing. And hopefully we get a little bit of that replicated this year, even though everything's slightly different.
But I recommend seeing Charlie's winner against Wigan. Wigan without a 10.
Bloody hell, bloody Wigan, 2013 champions.
I know, right?
Bit of a fall.
Connor Hall took the ball down with a Cantona-esque kind of takedown over the shoulder, leg out to his right hand side, and then slotted it home. It was a fantastic finish.
I am heavily seduced by the idea. I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone who plays for Chorley. I don't know anyone who plays for Chorley. I'm sure they're all amazing athletes, but I like the idea that you get players at that level who are really good, but they just don't want to commit themselves to it. They don't want to dedicate themselves to it. They want to go out with their mates. They want to have a good time and enjoy their lives, and maybe they don't fancy the pressure, and that's completely up to them. But what it means is you do get ability at that level where you go, whoa, that's amazing.
I think watching I saw Burton Town quite recently, and they are looking back at what Hartlepool United were in the old third division probably about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I got kicked up the bum by a Darlington fan.
Yeah.
A grown Darlington man at that. And he...
When you say up the bum?
Yeah.
It was a
right
little
up the
derby.
Anus.
I think in the FA Cup.
With a pointy shoe.
A big man kicked me up the bum when I was a kid.
Pointy shoe right up the anus?
Pointy shoe right up the anus. And the quality that Hartlepool displayed like 15 years ago in a league position... It's night and day compared to, like, the Berks said, we're better than them, and they're in like the seventh tier or something like that. Non-league football, the level and just the physique of all of the people involved. You just don't see that kind of like fat bloke having a, you know, scoring a hat
Why are you looking
trick.
At me when you say it? Oh, then you look away when you say scoring a hat trick. Disgraceful. Anyway.
Well, yeah, the physical jeopardy seemed to be more on Wigan's side. They were 2-0 up and managed to contrive to be defeated, but... 2013 is, as we know, a long time ago.
Wild.
Incidentally, when Gareth Bale last started in the Premier League. But we're not going to be talking about that game today. So we're going to be talking about Manchester City 1, Liverpool 1. Kevin De Bruyne missed a penalty out of what seemed like kind of courtesy, I think.
it's hard to fathom as to why he would be able to, like, how, when you're Kevin De Bruyne, you are able to miss the target by that much. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Do you think he was so accurate he went past infinity and then back around again?
Maybe he did. It's possible, actually. Maybe it was actually the universe that moved.
Yeah.
Not Kevin De Bruyne.
It's like, well, this doesn't make any sense.
Because the amount of processes that Kevin De Bruyne's brain is capable of when he's playing a through ball, like angle of pass, weight of pass, time of pass.
He divided by zero. He's the millennium bug. He's got the millennium bug.
He's got error calculator in his brain. E, just come up, E.
E.
Yeah, it was a baffling thing to see from such a good player. And I think that is two of the worst penalties I've ever seen in the same weekend.
Oh, right.
Ademola Lookman, which was, I mean, very difficult to quantify.
Lookman was my favourite penalty of the season, I think. Because it was like when someone hands you a baby and you go, I'm going to drop it. And then your brain goes, maybe I should just drop it and just get it up.
It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. And Lookman just went, oh, may as well just miss it. Because, you know.
A nice insight into the Pete Donaldson side. But it's the first.
Don't give me your baby.
It's the because it was so late on in the game, which is what women say to you a lot.
So much stress.
it was the first penalty miss I've seen in a game because it was so late on and because it was so vital for Fulham, it may prove to be even more vital throughout the season. It was the first penalty he's taken.
Well, they're going down either way, so.
Where the first thing that came on his face was, I've got to go back in the dressing room in a minute. There isn't even time to get this out of our system. And I just felt so sorry for him, but at the same time, I was furious with him, even though I've got no vested interest in it whatsoever. But anyway, the Man City-Liverpool game was kind of interesting for that reason, but also because the unified statements of both managers after the game about the demands being placed on the players, which I found, I don't know if I've ever seen that happen before. I can't remember it happening before. But it is interesting, given that we've got such a long season ahead of us and there's still so much more to go. And Jurgen Klopp, I know he wears his heart on his sleeve and is very emotionally led, but he was saying stuff like, this is a crime. This is a crime about what we're making these players do. And I kind of agree with him. I know that the general consensus is that if you give five subs instead of three, you're going to favour the big teams with the bigger squads. And that is an argument. And it's an argument I'm sympathetic to. But I don't know how you guys feel about this, but player safety is the most important thing. And if we get into this stage, the quality of drop-off in that game through what I think looked like fatigue was mad for early November.
But it is interesting that they are, those two, Pep and Jurgen Klopp, afterwards kind of embracing and discussing and looking a bit vengeful, and then also Ole Gunnar Solskjaer bringing it up, saying they were set up to fail in their, what was it, 12:30 win on Saturday. It is the bigger clubs who seem to be making the bigger deal out of it. Of course they are in Europe. Of course they are. But equally, you know, they have benefit. It's not a one-way street. You know, they have benefits from being in Europe, but including all the money to get the bigger squads.
Well, their only bargaining chip really is to pull players out of international squads, and the national game will suffer. We've seen that already with England and stuff. So it's kind of sad to see. I don't know the reasons why certain clubs voted against it when this came up, for when the five subs thing came up. But I agree with Klopp. Why can't players be moved? Why can't teams be moved around the ones that are playing late in the week in Europe? It just seems baffling, especially in this truncated season when you've got to squeeze a lot more stuff in.
Well, you think that United have to go to Turkey? I mean, like, I understand the point. I mean, the answer to your question, Pete, about why it wasn't voted through, I think is because the smaller teams, in quotes, thought that it would favour the bigger teams and it would give them an unfair advantage. And because of the way football is these days, there are probably 13 or 14 teams in the Premier League who are just terrified of relegation because it could mean a terrible, terrible consequence for them. So I guess that's why. But the players' safety is paramount. And I think, you know, we talked about why there are more goals in games, and I've said, I think it's because there's no crowds, and I do think that's the case, but it could well be because players are fatigued as well, and because the pre-season was so truncated, and because of the environment we're working in. And the best way to think about it, I think, is we can all sit around this table and agree the world has changed. The world's changed in a massive way, right? Football hasn't changed. The Premier League hasn't changed. Still playing the same amount of games. Still playing the same schedule. In fact, they're playing a tighter schedule. So no concession has been made in terms of the amount of games that the teams will have to play. And it's the players who are going to suffer. You know, so to me, it seems mad. I also think what it probably means is that we might well see a team that's not in Europe do brilliantly in the Premier League this season. I think we could see a team that's not in Europe go very close to winning the title this season because of this.
Some people might see that as a massive benefit. One of the players who looks to have been fairly badly injured in that game was Trent Alexander-Arnold. He went off with a calf strain, and Liverpool have confirmed that he will miss those upcoming England internationals this week. Jurgen Klopp answering the question of whether you start Roberto Firmino or Diogo Jota with
Stick
the answer.
Them all in
just
there.
Play Stick them all four up front. What's the issue?
I thought it was good. I don't think you could do that with players that don't work quite as hard. I think you need players who are busy and apply pressure backwards and forwards. So I thought it was a really, really positive start to that match. I thought
it was
a really good first half. And I think by the end, just turned to a bit of a stalemate where nobody wanted to drop any points. So, well.
Do you think it was that, or do you think it was fatigue?
A little bit both, I think. I think his argument to say both things were true. I thought Kyle Walker had a particularly poor time of things.
What about Keno? Keno sticking the boot in on him. And do you know what? It's such a pithy line. Why is Sadio Mane been able to win the penalty there? Because he's playing against an idiot. It's an amazing line. And a lot of football people on Twitter are starting to regularly complain about Roy Keane being on the TV now in the same way that it was complained about Graham Souness.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the Pogba thing, which had a little bit of a dark undertone, which you know, we can put to one side for this conversation. But people are complaining about Roy Keane because they're saying, what does he offer? What does he offer, right? And what they're missing is the fact that most people, if not the overwhelming majority of people, watch football for entertainment purposes, right? Mm. They don't care if, you know, there's overlapping centre-backs and the formation changes to this without the ball and in the second half they move to this one. Most people don't care about that. They want to be entertained. And Roy Keane's absolute box office on the TV. That's why he's going to be on it. Mm.
That's why you're here.
Well, yeah. I'm certainly not here to talk about anything conducive towards tactics. But I just think that he's absolute must-watch. And the anecdotal thing I'll say is that my wife's not that bothered about football. She likes sport. She'll watch a game if it's on. But if Roy Keane's on, she wants to watch it.
Oh, so it's like looking at Vesuvius. Going, that's going to blow at some point, and we're all going
to
be fucked.
I think that's why people listen to you.
Yeah.
Someone was saying to me, you can't call players an idiot. And I was thinking, was it last week or the week before where Roy Keane was saying he was going to attack someone for not putting in a pass?
Yeah. Like, and Micah Richards has, you know, kind of shaved off his edges a little bit. There was a beautiful...
Aww. On Instagram, he was like ripping the piss out of him, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. Micah Richards, every time Roy Keane tried to throw Micah Richards a steely look on his Instagram story, you could just hear Micah Richards cracking up in the background.
Yeah. Well, because we'll hear it in the break, but there's just a wonderful moment where Micah Richards has noticed that obviously under COVID restrictions, you have to put your own makeup on for certain companies. And Roy Keane had a bit of foundation in his hand.
Just brought it when
what's that in your hand? He goes, I wish I knew.
You think full foundation, that's impressive. Most people just stick to the old powder on the gents' side of things.
So in the limited amount of times I've done TV, sometimes you get this little spray.
Yeah, that's advanced.
Is it? Well, they're looking at me and going, fucking hell. Let's do what we can.
I remember the last on-camera job I did before Christmas was the makeup lady, the floor manager and the makeup lady came over and went, Peter, could we see in the green room? And I went to the green room. We're going to have to tape down your nipples.
Oh, you said it.
Because they've got very pointy nipples.
You can cut glass from pigs' nipples, I'm telling you.
Are they large?
It's a phenomenon.
No, they're not large, they're just very pointy.
Yeah.
And this is a very thick shirt.
And you were, and wow, through a jacket. Very impressive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did you take that? Did you take it personally, or did you think, proud of it?
No, I completely understand.
Yeah, some people make more of a feature of it. Okay, we haven't talked much about the interesting bit of handball, so we'll talk a little bit about some interesting handball in this Leicester against Wolves game, because as a result of Liverpool not winning, they didn't go top, but they do still have a 5-point gap over Manchester City, because who is top of the table heading into the international break? Yes, it is
Brendy's boys.
Marcus was trying, he's texting me all night, please can I do Monday, please. I want to say things about Leicester being on the verge. Max Kilman sort of savaged by a cross coming at him from about 5 yards out by Dennis Pritz. I can't remember who was on commentary actually on Sky for this, but he said something along the lines of, he just went, you're not going to get a penalty for that. And there's disdain in his voice with the word penalty. There it was, Anthony Taylor looking at the screen. Penalty Leicester.
Well, I think it was a little bit closer than 5 yards, wasn't it? Probably. I think it was closer. I mean, the Gomez
one was extremely close.
The Gomez one was further away, and I think the Gomez one I've seen that given before the handball laws even changed. But the Leicester Wolves one, the Max Kilman one was strange, and I think it's. Yeah, we don't want to come into this studio and talk about football and talk about handballs and stupid decisions all the time, but it happens so often now that it's getting ridiculous. I mean, you got some kind of like hyper-normalisation scenario where everyone knows it's ridiculous, but we go through the motions of it.
Bless him, Anthony Taylor, he looked embarrassed.
But I think that we have to. I think we just have to stop talking about the handball rule, because as the rules stand, obviously that is a penalty, isn't it? And we'll get the end of the season, and the powers that be will surely look at how many penalties we've had already, just already this season, and how if you extrapolate that along, it will be a hell of a lot more penalties than we had last season. Mm. And just say that just too many, or this is the new, or more likely, they'll go, everything's fine.
Yeah.
That's not even top 10 of the things we have to deal with.
Well, the second half of the season, players will be so tired they won't be able to lift their arms. So it'll be fine. They'll just be running with their arms by the side.
Falling over like penguins. It'll be like frozen penguins.
Fucking Day of the Dead.
Schmeichel will be able to go, won't he, with that bloody save.
Oh, that was a beauty.
Wax on, wax off. Hello, goodbye.
That reminded me of Jordan Pickford's save for England against Colombia, which is always forgotten because Colombia went and scored from the the resulting
I'll
corner.
Never forget it.
The reason that Schmeichel save is so good is because if you look at his eye line, there's no way he could have seen when the strike was hit.
Mm.
It just comes from behind Beautiful. The defender and he goes from nowhere. Brilliant save. Brilliant save. And Vardy's legitimate penalty for a foul.
Per us, I guess.
He obviously didn't score. But the problem is there's no pressure on penalties these days because you're going to get another one in 5 minutes. Don't worry about it. Come along at buses.
Maybe he was extending Wolves the same courtesy that Kevin De Bruyne was paying to Liverpool.
I don't think there's any chance in the world that De Bruyne would have missed that on purpose. No way. And Vardy's an absolute shit. There's no way he could have. You don't come in this studio and tell me Jamie Vardy cares about James Vardy.
Yeah,
is that his real name? It probably isn't. Jamie Vardy does not care about justice. All right?
I was surprised he didn't sort of finish the rebound. He's one of those kind of reactionary, sort of instinctual players. I thought he might just be able to put that in.
Mario Patricio had a good night in the Wolves goal. The second penalty you're talking about was James Justin sort of bamboozling Renat Nouri. Good exciting game.
It was.
Sorry, Wolves fans. It was a bit tough. All right, we're going to get to a break now because coming up, it's going to be tough for some other fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Wrestle Me is a show where two men watch every WrestleMania from 1 to 37, unpicking the multicoloured threads that tie it all together.
I think it's slightly something to do with the fact that Americans don't really like cell phones, do they?
Right.
I think they've all got basic ones, basically.
That's a big shout.
It is a big shout, but I mean, there is something funny about it, like text messaging never took off in the States.
What? Come on now.
Never been big.
Whether you're a lapsed fan or someone who doesn't give a flying laureate about it, there's something for everyone.
If you can get a crowd to boo you for kicking a fabulous ladder.
Fabulous ladder.
And the crowd are booing.
Yeah. That lovely ladder we've just learned about.
It's a beautiful polysexual ladder.
It's a beautiful Herne-based shabby chic creation.
If you climb up to it, ecstasy can be found at the top.
Listen via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your pods.
Wrestle Me is a Staccano production.
What have you got in your hand?
I wish I knew.
Look at me disgust in his face.
That's quick work from Pete Donaldson. Nice one, mate. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, Pete and Luke and me. Kate, I should probably say my name.
Another one from the Donaldson hit machine. Turns around really quick.
Yeah,
stacks
really
them
fast.
High, sells them cheap.
I like it a lot.
Mm.
Were you working through the night on that?
I was toiling at the Adobe Audition face.
At the meme machine.
At the meme machine.
Oh, it's beautiful. Micah Richards just is so irrepressible, isn't he? You just feel like nothing would ever get him down. Not even the disgust of Roy Keane.
All right, then, before we get to emails, let's see how we got on in Betway's Four to Score this weekend. And I have to say, generally speaking, we've been doing all right. The form's been pretty good. Mm. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free as well. Just to remind you, each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly 50 grand jackpot. Do make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game one was West Brom v Spurs. Marcus was feeling the pressure. He was sending a few messages around the WhatsApp saying that we've been doing so well. I'm first up. And we had a big discussion before Friday's show. And we said it had to be Son or Kane.
Mm.
He went for Son. It was Kane because the law of the sod is very much alive and well.
We all went for Son. I got Son recently. He'd been a bit of a banker for Betway.
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible shout. No.
I thought there was going to be a lot of goals in that game. I was surprised it was only 1-0.
There was only one. Leicester v Wolves was Jim's game. He picked Jamie Vardy. That was correct. Man City Liverpool. Jules picked Mo Salah. That was also correct. Arsenal v Aston Villa. I picked Aubameyang. And it was Ollie Watkins because own goals don't count. So we had 2 out of 4, which is not bad.
Yeah.
And we'll be back very soon with another round of Betway's Four to Score on the next preview show.
All right, now it's time for these. Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done. All right, we got an email from Alex Chick, and don't go chicken my heart.
Hi all.
I listened with amusement to Friday's discussion of whether Neil Maupay really learnt anything after being dropped due to egotism, only for Brighton to lose without him. It reminded me of a pre-season match I refereed a few years ago between two high schools here in the US. One coach wanted to teach one of his players a lesson, so started the game with the bare minimum of legal players and instructed all but the player in question to sit down near the midfield line and prove to the player that he could not win games by himself. Do it on the training ground, that's how I would say. Don't do it during a match. Unfortunately for the coach, the opposing team was so excited to score 11 versus 1 that they promptly ran themselves offside twice before finally figuring out how to legally get the ball in the net. I'm not sure what message got across the intended target.
That's just mad, isn't it? That is mad.
Very enjoyable, though. I like coaches who try and think outside the box, try to get too big for their boots, and just embarrass themselves and their team.
Also psychologically abuse children.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a baffling decision. But, and the thing I like about it is that you obviously get a certain type of school football coach who genuinely wants to improve children and kind of teach lessons to them through the medium of sport and teamwork and all the rest of it. And they're very much bastions of their community. And then you get people who are just probably idiots, and they're going to be idiots whatever happens, and this happens to be the channel they choose. What are the other kids thinking?
Matter.
Yeah, can you take this in your own time? Because I'll quite want to play. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Yeah.
Two high schools, right? Okay, I thought you were making these people younger, but than they actually were. But no, these were. I mean, they could be like 18-year-olds.
US
right?
High school goes from 14 to 18. I think. Yeah, so they could be 14.
Okay.
If they're 18, they're just not going to do it, are they? Yeah, whatever. Get on with it.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I guess some of these coaches get to deploy their masochism in new ways.
Yeah, sadism, though, isn't it? Sadism.
Sorry, you're absolutely. Yeah. They're sadism.
I didn't expect you to get that wrong, okay?
Because of my intellect, I assume you're implying. All right, that's a lovely email. Thanks, guys. Keep sending them in. show@footballramble.com. Just email show@footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done. All right, let's get to Arsenal's 3-0 defeat to Villa at the Emirates. Two goals for lapsed Arsenal fan Ollie Watkins and an own goal for Bukayo Saka. But John McGinn also had a goal disallowed in the 48th second of the game after Ross Barkley was in the eye line of Bernd Leno.
That's just crazy.
Just a little bit of 4 minutes of VAR where everyone had to then get warmed back up again to restart. And then three good chances at least for Villa in the 3 minutes of stoppage time. I mean, Darius Vassell, who was on, I was on Sky Sports News last night, and he said there were probably 3 9 out of 10 performances from Villa players, McGinn, Grealish and Ross Barkley. But and he must have forgotten Watkins as well. It was brilliant from Villa.
Yeah, and also I like this is football in microcosm in 2020. At one point, as you alluded to there, we'd had 400% more VAR than we had football.
Damn right.
Because it took, I think it was
it's
1 minute.
Perfect for the, ratio.
Yeah, 1 minute and then 3.5 minutes or 4 minutes nice. Of VAR. Yeah, it was crazy. I thought the decision was ridiculous anyway, in my opinion. But is this not another example of... Look, and don't get me wrong, Villa are a good team, actually. I think that it's gone a bit under the radar how good they are on their day.
Ross Barkley, yeah, what a signing.
They are fantastic. And I think what we're seeing is if you are a team who are 5, 10% below your intensity against a team who's had a week off, which Villa had. I mean, they'd not played for 7 days before this game. You're going to be in trouble. And I think the fact that Arsenal had the Europa League, they didn't look at it. They didn't look... And the thing is, I don't want to criticise them for saying they just didn't give a shit, because clearly they do give a shit. They just look really tired. And that's enough. That few percentage points here or there in terms of your intensity or what you're able to produce makes a big difference when you're playing against teams that have got players like Watkins, who's been ready for the Premier League for a long time. He's got everything in his locker, already scored a few goals in the Premier League now, and will go on to have a successful season, I'm sure of it. Grealish, who is... In a weird way, still quite underrated. I mean, every time you see him play, you come away thinking, probably the best player on the pitch. And it happens so often.
But I think when they loaned Barkley from Chelsea, obviously, and his price will have gone up massively with performances like this, you sort of think he kind of provides a brilliant kind of distraction.
Foil, right?
Brilliant foil or distraction from how important Jack Grealish is to that side. Because he just kind of... You know, he can get on with whatever he's doing while all of the opposing defence kind of concentrate on Grealish. I thought both of them were fantastic.
And isn't it interesting how we think of, if you look at it on paper and you look at Barkley and Grealish and go, well, if you play both of them, that's a gamble, particularly away from home against a good team. But what they can do, and you'd put Eze in this group as well, the Crystal Palace player, they carry the ball. They carry the ball so well, they relieve the pressure. And just a handful of seconds with a carrying the ball can get it means the rest of your team can get into shape again. You can get in the position you need to get into, and it relieves a lot of pressure. And a player we should give a mention to that we haven't talked about this game so far is Matty Cash, who's been brilliant since he's come to the Premier League. He's been ready for the Premier League for a little while now. And he's played up against, on that left, obviously playing right back, on that left side, Saka, who's been in the England team and everyone's been raving about him. Tierney, who's an international player, and Aubameyang, who I know drifts, but is also starting on that side as well. And he was magnificent. He was better than all of them. So positive signs for Aston Villa. And I'm not saying they're going to go on and do anything amazing or whatever, but given they've got no European football, given that they look on their day that they can beat anyone, and also given that no one has conceded fewer goals than them in the Premier League this season, means at this stage they're looking in great nick. They're sixth. They're 3 points off the top, and they've got a game in hand. It's crazy.
They've already done amazing things, to be honest. I think it's not. Yeah, you know.
But if they stop now, they will get relegated, Kate. I just want that absolutely clear. You should not be their coach with that kind of motivational talk.
Well, Dean Smith looks to have really, really drilled this side brilliantly, and also made the most of the tools in his Arsenal.
Yes.
Who have
in his Villa. Perhaps. A weapon, like Pablo Escobar, like a Villa full of weapons.
We're not saying that's what we think Dean Smith has got, just for the record.
And you can say what you like about Escobar because he's dead.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. It's actually 6 hours and 26 minutes since Arsenal last scored a goal from open play in the Premier League. What do we make of that? What do we make of them generally?
Well, I think they're a work in progress. I think you sometimes struggle to find new things to say about Arsenal because of the situation they find themselves in and because they're so inconsistent. In a way, it's similar to Man United. Like, it's one step forward, one step back, but you would back Arteta to have a plan to see, you know, for them to actually do something eventually. But I think this game is a tough one for them because Aston Villa was so rapid and so intense, and because Arsenal had a European game and half the players looked knackered. I mean, it's not great to be able to have to say this on a football show because we want to get up about football, we want to talk about it and we want to get excited about it, and the Premier League is great. But if this is what's happening in November, I mean, all bets are off. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. And we've seen that time and time again. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because in the Premier League, there have been seasons where the people marketing the Premier League have said, well, you never know what's going to happen.
and you do.
But this season, you don't. And they're pretending everything's fine. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Martinez also, last little nugget off, I think I got this one off Richard Jolly, let's face it, on Twitter. More Premier League clean sheets at the Emirates than Bernd Leno this season.
There you go.
Sold the wrong bloody goalkeeper.
Little doff of the cap as you walk off. That's all you need to do. You don't need to hammer it home. Just give him a little nudge. How you doing? Nice to see you.
They seemed very friendly. Waving and smiling mocking.
Bernd Leno got really angry from a stretcher once, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got injured when he went off against Brighton.
But I'm not out.
Yeah, and he was like up for it. Maybe on a stretcher, he couldn't move.
Up for the cup.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Eberechi Eze, shall we? This 4-1 win by Crystal Palace against Leeds. Bad bloody week for Leeds. The biggest defeat since being promoted on Monday at home to Leicester. That was 4-1. And then they just did it again, away. But third start for Eberechi for Palace after he joined, as you said, Luke, from QPR. And it was a lovely old free kick goal, wasn't it? Beautiful way to score his first Premier League and a good way to get off the mark.
In the words of Marcus Speller, easy.
Easy. he's a player who suits Palace's style perfectly because, as I said a second ago, he can carry the ball. And I think, although you think of Crystal Palace as being a better team away from home, I think the way that Leeds play does kind of feed into the way Palace like to play. And Palace could just try and soak it up. A lot of their players do a lot of work in there, particularly midfield. And then obviously the forward players can drop in as well. And then Leeds are playing a baffling formation. I couldn't really work out what they were doing. I'm not going to complain about that because I love watching it. Mm. I think Leeds are going to find that. I personally think they'll be fine this season. I think they'll do well in the Premier League this year, as much as anything can be predicted. But they are going to get results where they just get unstuck. Mm. And they've lost three of their last four now. So, you know, you always have this idea about what Bielsa is going to do next. They've got the joint worst defence in the Premier League, which is a concern. Mm. But it's a bit early at the moment to say much more than that, I think.
Do we care, Pete, that Patrick Bamford's goal was ruled out for pointing?
Oh, that was mental. That was insane.
I like the decision like that.
Disallowed for pointing. That goal was disallowed for pointing. That's what it looked like they were saying, which is basically what was happening because the handball law changed, which meant he was now offside from his armpit. Crazy.
Is it armpit? Or no, it's the bloody T-shirt, isn't it? Where's the T-shirt? Yeah. It's more like shoulder gun.
Yeah. Depending, I guess it depends which way he was leaning.
What is this bit called?
That's the deltoid, isn't it? The deltoid.
Yeah. Mm.
But I think that what might now be happening is that after all the years of suffering we've had from referees, we're now punishing them in like a bit of showpiece theatre.
We're punishing them.
Where everyone is.
Are they not punishing us?
By making them. No, but we're making them do these decisions, aren't we?
Yeah.
As a collective group of football, as a community, we're making the referees the agents for these decisions.
And also referee in slow motion as well.
Yeah.
At the same time.
True. Yeah. If you look at, I know you were looking at them with your eyes, but if you look at it at 500 frames per second.
With five cameras.
Yeah,
it's like the Clockwork Orange thing where your eyes are pulled open and you've got to watch it again and again.
Speaking to him in his ear, I think you might find that you're wrong. Again. Get on with it. Mic off.
Do your family love you?
So yeah, it's refereeing decisions every week.
Wild.
So it goes.
Mm.
Do you like your job, guys?
Yeah.
They must do. Referees, they must like their jobs a bit, some of them.
Oh, of course. I think there are very few referees that you would hang your hat on and sort of go, I trust this referee to deal with all of the new shit that they've had to deal with.
It's a bit rich. You a trustworthy member?
No.
No, exactly. So in many ways...
My member isn't trustworthy.
You're perfectly placed to judge.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, to catch a killer, you've got to be a killer.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like that bloke on BBC One's Watchdog who used to be a house thief.
Dominic Littlewood.
No, he used to be a burglar?
No, Dominic Littlewood was the little fella.
Oh, right. Did he not used to be
a
burglar?
Leon Dublin.
Coming up to the master bedroom. Some stairs leading up to the master bedroom.
Still gone on the member thing, right? Before we go, the news that girls aren't elite. Let's have a little moment on this before we head out of town.
I don't think we're in agreement on that one.
Well, the news that you girls said to me, you wrote elite. It down. Girls aren't elite. Like, we know, obviously, during the lockdown, the kind of gap between the haves and the have-nots, people who have access to big houses, for example, and can just stroll around their moated gardens is fine. They can get their exercise. They don't have to go anywhere. But I have to say, I was even I was shocked by this one, which is that women's elite development squads, so that's ages 16 to 21, we'd think a kind of critical moment in their footballing development, no?
Yeah, you can't miss those years out, really, can you?
Oh, forget it. What was Wayne Rooney up to in those years? Nothing at all.
Some of them are being made to play on their own, aren't they? With all the other teammates sat outside just to teach them a lesson. Very, very key moment for
them. Very unprofessional. Yeah.
Oh, bless them. I feel sorry for their egos, let alone the referees. Anyway, they've been forbidden from attending training or playing matches, so Luke's not even really joking, by the Football Association because they do not fall under the government's elite protocols, the FA have said. The Barclays FAWSL academies and FA girls regional talent clubs are to be suspended during this period as their resources, including finances and personnel, do not meet the necessary elite protocols required. And the real kicker in that, the real little sting in the statement tail is that, yes, we bloody know girls don't have enough funding in their football. That's the whole problem. And now you're using it as an excuse.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest criticisms that you see thrown at women's football is that it's not of the standard of men's football, right? And that's the criticism people throw out, right? And the idea of this is surely that how can you expect women's football to improve and to get better
when it's that expedient?
When it's treated so poorly. I mean, you've got a situation now where the best women's players can absolutely earn an income as professional football players, and rightly so. And if they're not given the opportunity to develop, as you guys have already said, then it's just ridiculous. You're just pulling the rug out from under them, and then you're going to punish them for it like you have in the past anyway. And also, the optics of it are an absolute joke. How they can think that this is going to go over well is doesn't anyone think about what this actually looks like in 2020?
There's another one for Rashford to sort out.
Get Rashy on it.
What's next on your Monday.com? What's next on your Trello?
Yeah, what are you going to do, Rashy?
What's next on your shopping list, Rashford? Can you sort this out?
That actually would be kind of wicked, because he has had another big win, hasn't he? Getting the government to put in £400 million towards
the
announced
food. That U-turn after the Biden win, when no one was talking about it.
And the thing is, that's the mad thing about the world we live in at the moment, and where it touches on things like sport and we know I will put money on the idea that this will be turned around, right? Because it's going to be leaked, and no one's going to have thought about it properly, and there's going to be a public outcry, and then it's going to be overturned, which is what happens in every aspect of public policy in this country in 2020.
The community should police the government.
It's good, but they should be doing their job properly in the first place. It's good that you've spotted my mistake. No, it's bad you made a mistake.
But these guys are making it all up on the fly, aren't they? I mean, this is the most absurd situation.
Well, look at the shit show that happened before the first lockdown with women's football. They just went, look at how the Frauen Bundesliga managed to sort of continue throughout the whole thing. And they just sort of went, oh, we might be starting again. We might not be starting again. We're going to stop the entire league. And clubs, there were players that were stuck on international duty playing football in like Jamaica, places like that. It was just like, I don't want to come back to my club because this is an absolute joke. I don't want to be travelling. I could be going back to places like France and England where the league could be stopped almost immediately. And they didn't want to go back to work because there's just no leadership. And we have to be cognizant of the fact that obviously, a lot of women's football is funded by sponsorship. I think it's Manchester City's 80%, something like that. And the problem is that when the insurance companies, when the sports manufacturers pull their funding because, you know, women's football isn't as in vogue as it is right now, they're going to be in real trouble. And teams like Manchester City and Liverpool, and I've spoke about this before, aren't really into the nuts and bolts of actually running these football teams. They just think, can we make a bit of money off this? All right, well, let's
or should we be seen to be doing it?
Should we be seen to be doing it? Yeah, it's nonsense. It's not just even women's football. We were talking about this before, about the fact that public school kids seem to be allowed to play football on their school fields, whereas state schools just aren't. And it just seems to be, nobody's thought about this. Teachers don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. And it's almost as if the governing bodies of the FA, and to a bigger extent, I would argue, the governing body of the country, are just, you know, a pack of slogan-slinging shithawks.
But the thing is, there is an element of this, and how it touches
shittocrats.
You should have said that the first time. Yeah, don't let him have an edit for that.
Sorry,
he should learn his lesson.
Shittocrats.
But I think there is. I want to keep talking.
Camera one. Shit. I tell you what, Luke. They're almost of our governor are a pack of slogan slinging shittocrats. Oh, thank you. Good night.
Clip that.
What a line. What a line.
Oh wow.
I was just going to say.
So glad to be in the room for that.
It seems frivolous now after that, but I was just going to say.
I'm just drinking my bottle of Diet Coke while you all laugh and applaud.
We shouldn't conflate like different governing bodies who make different decisions about different parts of. No,
I'd like to.
Yeah, Pete would like to. That's fine. But what I do think is that there was a big amount of sympathy for decision makers at every level when this thing hit, because everyone knew no one's had to deal with this before. It's a difficult thing, and they had a good amount in the bank that they could draw on to say, look, we're trying our best here, right? That ship's long since sailed. Let's get that absolutely right. That ship has sailed 9 months on, or whatever it is, 8 months.
We know
on.
What we're up against.
That's sailed. Mm. And the fact that still no one is capable at the top level, whether it be a governing body of a sporting agency or whatever, to sit down and say, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And how is it going to look? Is unacceptable. Mm. It's completely unacceptable. And anyone, I would say most people, of any sort of competency, can run an agency or a department when it's easy. Anyone can do stuff when it's easy, because you come into work, you have your coffee, how's everyone getting on? Great. Do you all know what you're doing? Yeah, brilliant. When it's hard, it's the point of the responsibility. And time and time again, I feel like we're seeing decision makers at the top of the game are not being able to do the job that they say they can do. And they can all do it when they go hobnobbing at number 10, or they go to different meetings, or they go to a function raising money for charity and eat food and get pissed. Anyone could do that, right? It's when it actually comes down to making difficult decisions, and they're failing over and over again.
It's,
and this is a disgrace.
It's almost as if they're slogan shitting shit.
Your point was a great one as well, Pete, about the situation with sponsorship and how, you know, these teams, they're inclined to collapse if things get pulled and if they're not being supported, because it's something we've seen again and again in the States. They've got a really good women's league now, NWSL, but they had two previous leagues collapse. And basically what the situation seems to be is that the appetite for supporting the women's game or women's teams when there is money lost, which is what happens whenever you set up a league. It's the same thing that happened in the MLS. They lost money hand over fist, but the anxiety, the decision made is to pull out that money as soon as it's lost, far more in the women's game than it is to consider it an investment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this is just what we have to do. And, we have to put money in, and in the longer term, we'll get it back.
And if you're a 17-year-old footballer, why should I go into a sport that may leave me high and dry in 3 years' time? Mm-hmm. The women's Super League may not exist in 5 years' time.
And if you're listening to this thinking, well, I don't really watch women's football, I don't really know why this is relevant, whatever, well, you don't even need to take the women's football example. Mm. Take the grassroots football example. Mm. Take the Football League example. There are people, good people at the Football League, who are saying, if you don't do something about this at the top level, X amount of clubs are going to go to the wall. And they're still dragging their heels on the solution. And we've talked about it almost every week since the pandemic on this show. The incompetency does not discriminate. It's wherever wherever football is to be found. And if we're not careful, we're going to be on a journey where we're just going to be watching, as Pete and I were joking about before we came in, we're just going to be watching Liverpool v Man United every single week, or Liverpool Man City every single week. And there's going to be five Liverpool teams and five different Man City teams.
Sounds good.
And every week, and the more I talk about it, actually,
yeah,
the more I don't mind it.
And there's going to be Le Arsenal, just all French players for Arsenal.
It's actually... sounds quite good.
Yeah. What's shittocrats in French?
Le shit.
Les merdocrates.
Oh, that was beautiful. And you know.
Would it be le crat de merde?
I think you might be overcomplicating.
I don't know.
And what more beautiful sentiment could we end on?
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. Me and Pete did 10 minutes on the Luke and Pete show about dog shit. So it can be done.
Oh, beautiful. I felt like you had a lot of material backed up.
So it was backed up. That was the problem.
Tomorrow's show it is. Marcus, Jim and Pete. Say goodbye, you little shits.
Thanks very much, Kate. Hey, you looking forward to being back tomorrow?
Certainly am.
Yeah, get some more slogans.
Slogan slinging shittocrats.
Go work on your mottos. Get them on the iPad. Yeah. Play them out. See you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're super natural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.